بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman.
Allah
who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illa.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. For today's discussion, we have invited Sheikh Rouhani and a special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom to answer questions related to Islamic beliefs. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Inshallah, 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 you'll find your way.
Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, according to the Shiite beliefs, the Shiite infallible imams or masumin were considered as the ocean of knowledge. We can say, and the Shiites believe that their imams had this vast knowledge on different topics. Now, the main question is that why none of the infallible Shiite imams had any innovation or invention, it's better to say, in their lives in order to facilitate the affairs of the people of their time, if they were that much knowledgeable of their own time?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, we should know that when we talk about the knowledge of A'imma alayhim salatu wassalam, the divine knowledge of the prophets alayhim salatu wassalam, does it include all the different sciences, different fields of studies, particularly experimental kind of knowledge or empirical kind of knowledges? They all be also included in the knowledge of the prophets and imams? The answer is that it is not necessary for the imam or for the prophet to provide the people with these types of knowledge. The main objective of the mission of the prophets and imams are the guidance of the people into the right path. They're saving them from the hellfire and helping them to get closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Helping them to become good people, the righteous people, the true believers, mu'mineen, and save them from the hellfire and send them to Jannah and guide them to the right path. This is the main objective of the revelation wahi and also the imamate. And ilm of the imam should be at the service of the people in this way. So we should look at the knowledge of the imam from this perspective, that can this knowledge of the prophets and imams guide the people to the right path, guide the people to the right way or not, save the people from the hellfire or not, help them to get closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqarrub ila Allah or not. If it works in this field, then their knowledge and their science worked and there is no any problem with their sciences.
Yes.
This is the first point, that absolutely, of course, this hidayah, this divine guidance that are brought to us by the prophets and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, they did work, and if someone follow them, they will be saved from the hellfire and they will get the proximity to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the perfection. This is the first point. The second point is that even when it comes to these, let's say, experimental sciences, that we have a saying from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, that once imams asked the people that, please ask me your questions about, for example, he said that, I know the ways of the heaven, I know the knowledge of the heavens.
Yes.
More than the knowledge of what you have about this worldly life or earth and world. And then you see that the people asked him very, let's say, strange kind of questions, very meaningless kind of questions. It shows that the people were not prepared, were not ready to receive this sort of knowledge from the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salatu wasalam. Otherwise, Imam Ali, alayhi salatu wasalam, told them that, Saluni qabla an tafqiduni. Ask me before I die, before you lose me. But of course, the people, the people were illiterate, the people were not, fully knowledgeable people. That's why they did not refer to the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam for these sort of things. This is the first point. The second point is that among the students of Ahlul Bayt, among the students of Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq, we have great scientists, Jabir ibn Hayyan, and many other, scientists we have in the history, that they are the students of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. They got this knowledge, and later their knowledge transmitted to the other generations of the scientists. Finally, it led to a kind of discoveries in the history, because these discoveries that are made by the scientists are not out of nothing. The knowledge that were transmitted to these scientists, to the previous generations of these scientists, it paved the ground for all these discoveries and improvement in different fields of studies.
That's right.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glories to Allah, we worship Allah and no one but Allah.
And the serious question is that, were really imams selected to solve the scientific problems of the people? There was Imam of Hidayah and the guidance for the people. It is as if the Book of Quran is not the book to answer our scientific questions. It is a book of Hidayah. I think imams, as the true followers of Prophet Muhammad and the Holy Quran, were also so, isn't it, Shaykh?
You know, we have two dimensions in our, existence. One is the immaterial aspect of our existence, and the other one is the material aspect of our existence. When it comes to the immaterial aspect, we need to a kind of heavenly and divinely kind of guidance and knowledge that should be given to us through wahi, revelation, and through the Ahlul Bayt Aimma alayhim salatu wasalam, which is a divinely kind of source of knowledge.
Yes.
So this knowledge is beyond our normal or, natural kind of knowledge and sciences. And when it comes to the material aspect, to the physical and bodily kind of aspect of our existence, whatever knowledge that we need in this respect, we can acquire it.
Okay.
We can attain it by our sensation, by our sensory knowledge, or sensory, faculties. And our aql, our intellect, is able to attain this knowledge, to achieve this knowledge. That's why Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with all with the means that we need to attain this kind of knowledge, and he provided us with aql, with intellect, with mind, with brain, and he enabled us to solve these sort of problems by ourselves. But the problem that we cannot solve is that immaterial, aspect of life, that the problems that goes beyond the nature, goes beyond this physical world, which is immaterial, which is transcendent kind of knowledge. What we need is this sort of knowledge that should be brought to us by the prophets through wahi and revelation.
Yes.
But this kind of experimental or empirical kind of things that you mentioned, human being, can solve them by our own, intellect, by our own brain, by our own these sensory kind of faculties. We should not forget that, of course, in the history we have had some prophets who also provided people with this sort of knowledge as well, like Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, and the other prophets, Prophet Khidr, for example, Prophet Idris, and the other prophets. It is mentioned because now some of the scholars are of the view that whatever types of sciences and knowledge pieces of knowledge that we have. The main sources for all these types of knowledge are the prophets.
Yes.
Because the prophets were the first teachers of the mankind. And they actually taught the people, and they actually brought the knowledge for the people. Then those knowledge in the history, through the history, expanded and extended into different fields of studies. That's why the main source of knowledge of the mankind are all divinely kind of sources, according to, let's say, Islamic kind of principles and teachings. But of course, since man are able to enhance, to extend these sort of studies and knowledge by their own selves, then they do not need to any kind of divinely or, let's say, heavenly sort of sources for these sort of knowledge.
That's all right. And as you said, the golden age of the Islamic developments in science, we can say, was filled of experts from the lands of Persia and Iraq and Syria, we can say in Yemen, who helped very much in order to develop science in different fields of studies. Al-Haytham, Al-Khwarizmi, we can say Al-Biruni, At-Tusi, you know.
Yeah, of course.
These are not simple names. And all the modern developments were created on the shoulders of such developments.
Exactly. They owe to these scholars.
They owe to these scholars on that time. But at the same time, as I said, the Aimmas and the Infallible Imams had direct role in guiding the hearts and the souls of the people of their time. And most of the time, the people referred to them, even the scientists referred to them in order to get answers to the spiritual, it's better to say, developments, spiritual growth at their time. And they were the Imams of Hidayah rather than the Imam of Science or something like that. And if we consider religion as a specialized field of study, Shaykh, for sure, A'immas were the experts.
Exactly.
For example, we know that.
Of course. They did have the knowledge.
Yes. Fiqh, Quran, Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam helped the king of his time to coin the first Islamic coin.
Exactly.
For the trademarking, you know, on that time, because the coins were Romans. So now that we can say the signs were changed into the Islamic ones by the help of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. They had knowledge on different fields of studies, Islamic sciences, hadith, you know, history of Islam, Quran, and so on. So these can be considered as the scientific help of the Imams too, isn't it?
Yes, of course. You know that, as I mentioned, there are many scholars, many scientists in the history that their teachers, their previous generations of their teachers, will go to the Imam al-Sadiq and Imam al-Baqir, alayhi salatu wassalam.
Mm-hmm.
That's why at the time of these two great Imams, the different fields of studies were there, and the different kind of students from across the Islamic world were there. Among them were muhaddisin, let's say, among them were fuqaha, among them were theologians, among them were also scientists. So that's why these scientists also later, they improved and perfected the different fields of studies by the help of A'imma alayhim salatu wassalam. As you rightly mentioned, the Islamic civilization in the 4th and 5th century was the most, let's say, powerful and developed and perfect kind of civilization in the whole world. Which were established by Muslims by the help of Islamic teachings and doctrines, which is based on the teachings and doctrines of the Quran, Prophet, and Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salatu wassalam.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن
الآن كل من كان محباً لهم كل من كان محباً لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن